Welcome back to another episode of Scenario. We are back. The 100th episode is going to be kind of...
It's coming.
Yeah, I mean, it's the 100-ish episode.
It's like the 99th episode, part F.
Yeah, it's kind of in works.
It's coming.
It's in works.
It's going to be 100th-ish.
It's in works. So thank y'all for coming back. If you are listening to us on the podcast, we got the video. So go to the SLC Network page. Check us out on the video. Check us out. Matt, what's been going on, my man?
I'm still alive, man. That's an accomplishment in the culture right there.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people dying on these streets for these chickens, man.
There's a lot of people dying for a lot of reasons right now. We're going to get into that. Before we go much further, we got a return guest.
Yes.
So we're walking down the street, and I saw Travis. I said, hey, Travis, get your ass on the show. We're going to talk about black people stuff. I know you'd be wanting to do that. And now here's his. Travis Terrell, everybody.
Because he never gets to talk about black people stuff.
At all. Hardly ever. If anybody knows my show, is that we never bring up race.
Well, and see. No. It's a racial free zone. Up. Yeah. But see, right, and the last time you were here, we talked about really topical things.
We did.
Like black opportunity. Yes. And, you know.
And it got that was a pretty, we got pretty deep though, because we was talking about, you know, being black and being on the air.
Black bald.
Yeah.
It's being black and being black bald.
Yeah. Yes. It was two different things.
Yeah. Two different, whole different things.
We
but, you know,
that life.
You've got to be one to be the other.
Yeah. So
can white people get black bald?
I don't. Oh,
I think it's harder. Shout out to, you know, Taggart right now, who's probably not going to get another job ever.
There's been some people that got blackballed in states that were electing things yesterday, though.
Yeah.
Like, didn't Kentucky get, like, a Democratic governor or something?
Kentucky, yeah. Like,
and he only won by, like, 2.2%. He was like, I'm out. Like, you know, like, somebody's like, no, I got it. We won. Like, we won. No recap.
Like, he's the dude that's shooting dice and picked his money up on the first
exactly
time.
Did exactly
the,
what he
but
did.
But the guy he beat, like, 4 years ago won that race by 20-plus points.
Yeah.
So for him to close that gap.
And win by 0.2 or whatever. He's like, I'm out. Yeah, I'm taking all my money. We out. Yeah.
So you as the former political strategist.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
That means.
For next year.
That means that a lot of people in the suburbs of Kentucky ain't for the bullshit currently going on. Yeah. So it looks like they're
kind of.
Is this
closer to the Cincinnati area where we're looking
So it's.
Covington.
It's very much like Missouri where he's like, oh, it's red except. St. Louis, Kansas City, Columbia, like, and that's where. Yeah,
but St. Louis turns red when it comes to presidents, though.
St. Louis County, certainly, because there are parts of West County, St. Louis, that certainly don't mind the rhetoric from this current administration. But
yeah, we know South County is definitely.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Well, it's been a busy.
They actually just cast all their votes in general, like auto vote, like it's like an auto vote for South County.
They proxy their votes for like 20 years. Like every time something comes out, you know what
it's
I'm
like
doing.
It's like drafted for fantasy. Like it's just auto.
It's all right. So is it progression? Is it going to make things be more even? Not for that. I'm voting for the complete opposite of that. Anything that be potentially confused as being liberal, I'm not voting for that.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay,
no,
I got
not
it.
At all, yeah.
Well, we've had a busy week and a half. We brought out a show that we did a week ago on Tuesday.
And that was my fault, y'all.
So that was like, because we're really stretching out this 99th episode.
We really don't want to come back into real to the 100th episode.
Version G, I think, or something like that. So we'll get there. We'll explain that when we get to that point. But we've got, the good thing is that this has been one of the top 10 most ridiculous weeks of the decade, as the decade's
and,
on its way out the door.
We were trying to hold out, and we was like, man, we can't.
It's too much stuff.
Yeah. And we got our weekly email, like, you know, we're going to kick your ass email.
Oh, did we get
same
one of those?
Same person. I think he got that on auto draft.
Okay.
Where he's just like, he don't see it in his draft box for the new show.
Mm-hmm.
He's sending the email.
Okay. Well, it's good to know.
It's around in the mornings. On Friday mornings, it's like, is it like 10:10? Like,
see, that's the type of advice that people give to young girls, say, that's not love.
That's abuse.
But we'll take it. We'll take it for
we'll
what
take
it is.
I appreciate you.
We'll take it for what it is. So let's hit these emails, man, before we got a crazy sports world we need to touch after that.
All right. First one comes from Zip. He says, Matt, you're going to have to speak for this Mizzou situation, man. What's going on with these ads where they basically making saying like you just want to be African-American when you grow up? Is this an ABC after school special kind of feel, but it's on the Mizzou territory? Speak for the Mizzou faithful.
Well, so I brought Travis here to do that, too.
Oh, boy.
Because I knew that was happening.
Yeah.
And Travis used to be in Black Governance.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you were?
I was. I was part of the Legion of Black Allegiance. And
they didn't let people like me into those things.
Matt was an absolute leader on campus. I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
I only came when I needed money.
But no, I saw that same ad that went out that everybody was talking about. And I think... based on our experience at Mizzou, it was the same reaction we've had to similar cases before. Disappointed, but not surprised.
I kind of looked at the calendar and I was like, oh, it's been a few years.
Yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah,
again.
That train always on time with Mizzou when it comes to those
things. It was actually kind of late for you, Matt. Like, it was like kind of late.
When was the last time we had a real dust up? Probably.
It's been more than 16 months, I think.
Yeah, so.
Was the last dust up before this?
I don't know what it was. I'm sure there was something that we just didn't realize.
The player situation.
There's things that don't go national that just happen too, I guess. Yeah. But we've got a black quarterback, though. So, I mean, I just kind of figured that.
It's not that good.
Well, he's hurt. He's hurt. Let's not do that. He literally got his knee torn in half. Man, he might not even play this week. I wouldn't play him against Georgia for what. But anyway, so. I kind of got into the weeds with this thing and found out, mm-hmm. I made a statement on Facebook about it, okay. And some people.
Well, Matt, that statement is like the state of the union.
It
like
really is.
No, literally, it is though. Like, and for some reason, Facebook knows that we do. So it's always at the top of my feed. Like,
is it really?
No, dude. I'm going, anytime you put up something like where it's like, especially when you like really like passionate about something, it's at the top of my feed.
So here's the thing about that Facebook statement. I did it in the last 45 seconds. I was awake that day because I was getting ready to go to bed, and I was like, you know what?
Let me get this off my chest.
This ain't set right with me for a couple hours. Let me get this off. I hit send and I put my phone down and went to sleep. But anyway, so I talked to a couple people from the school, and the way it went down is kind of like, this is unnecessary. So it's like, this is extremely why editing matters. Like, right. Pass this thing by people. Like, just don't make these decisions and just put things out. Checks and balances, you know? Let's make sure that when we're making statements that should be important, and it kind of looks like it's like a version of the LeBron, a more than an athlete thing, mm-hmm. that the NCAA just tried to adapt because, they're some of the greatest biters of all time.
Definitely.
Talk about conservatism. We can get into them in a second. But, it just wasn't done the right way. When you look at the video and you look at the long form version of it, it makes great sense. Mm-hmm. But you can't do buzzword worthy things and then just leave it there like that.
Yeah, I didn't want to project. I don't know the individuals who are responsible for putting together the ad, but I know one thing that we really wanted to promote as students when we were at Mizzou was to making sure those faces, those voices were in those rooms. So when those decisions come about, you have perspectives that are needed in order for you to make a sound decision. And so, I, not knowing the makeup of the room or the people who made the decisions, I would wonder if that was a similar case where just not having the necessary diverse voices in that room to say, hey, dog, I don't know about this. This is something we may want to hold off on or maybe reword and make sure we're putting it out there correctly.
You know, I'm a proponent of having just one black dude in every room. If you go in a room
and
you're going to create something that's going to go out to the world, just be like the guy on the couch on Half Baked.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, hey, black guy, can we run this past you real quick? And if he's like, nah, dog, that ain't for me. Look, try that again.
On the branch of Midcoast Media, we have apparel, we have a PR side, and before a statement goes out or a t-shirt is made, yo, Travis, check this out real quick, dog. Is this this cool? And it's generally that it's really, what will Black Twitter think? And I come in for that perspective and I go, no, this will work. And once they hear that hesitant, they go, scratch, let's get out of here.
We don't even want to mess with it.
You see, the WWE released that blackface t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what it was.
There's a wrestler that's in NXT that's like an all black t-shirt. And it's just like a mouth that's smiling with some eyes on it.
Ooh.
Like, it looks like that Twizzler's mouth.
Oh, no.
First, a black person would have been that. At first, it would have been like, yo, no black tea, period.
No,
like off the top. Yeah, off the top.
But the wrestler approved it, though. But then he came back after the fact and was like, here's what happened. You ever done something and you just like, man, maybe I can get by with this?
Because I did it.
I kind of ain't feeling it. Like, somebody make a joke and you kind of be sitting there like,
yes.
Am I gonna have a moment right now? Am I gonna stash this one?
Right. But NXT, he ain't on the main thing yet.
Well, NXT is on USA every week now. So probably had that t-shirt before it was on TV and it was like, all right, hop on out there. He's like, people watching now. I can't just hop out here like that. His people finally turned it on. Because, people don't be trying to find stuff on the internet unless it's on a fire stick.
Yeah.
But his people
but
finally saw
like
it on TV.
After the biggest icon in their industry, Hulk Hogan, was caught up in his caught up, I would imagine that there would be more people conscientious inside the organization going, okay, we got a lot of heat from a lot of our fan base.
Didn't Vince McMahon say nigga on the air too?
Yeah, he's certainly pushed certain storylines and doing so, coming up with some very cheesy stereotypes.
Do a top 10 most racist WWF characters of all time.
But I just, yeah, I think an organization that has a history, a well-noted history.
A very rich history, if you will.
A long one that they would be more conscientious about that. But again, I think, and you've already said it, having these multiple faces in those rooms just to be like, yo, hey, you would think in 2019 we would already reach that
point. I would like that. I'm going to call that. We'll put that on the MAFA ticket. Black man in every room where things, where decisions are made.
Yeah, the standard.
Yeah, just one. There's enough of us to
we'll
go around.
Subsidize it. Yeah, we'll subsidize it.
We'll subsidize it. We'll do that.
We might have to pull on some brothers that maybe you don't want to have.
Because it's only a certain amount of brothers.
You see, they don't like that. They're going to start looking, oh, no, this is on Kaepernick. This is on this. But all of us not going to Jay-Z it. Some of us going to sit there and really have something to say.
Yeah. Ooh, shout out to Jay-Z.
I didn't say that.
I did.
You did.
Yeah, I did.
That's right.
And it seemed like it's working out for me in that statement.
All right.
So, let's go and get into some,
only one person's mad at us this week?
Yeah, I mean, we had, like, where your fuck y'all at.
Oh, great. I appreciate it.
But, I mean, that's
that.
No point in
that's
reading
good.
Those.
See, that works.
That was no point in reading those.
I was about to make a mystical quote, but it's probably not the right time to be quoting mystical.
Shout out to No Limit.
Let's just do that before we get to the topics.
That's another one.
All right, man. So,
the tank came.
The No Limit Soldiers are on tour right now.
God help them.
Wherever you're listening to this
said,
at,
God help the
which
noise.
Camera do I need to say this to? I didn't say it right here.
Let him have his time with it.
Now, listen here and listen real good. The No Limit Soldiers are coming to town.
Mm-hmm.
Do not go. The tank is going to roll right over your pockets and keep going.
Oh, boy.
I woke up to a text on Saturday morning, on Sunday morning.
I feel like everybody got that same text.
My brother texted me because we was trying to go. We was like, all right, man, let's go ahead and hit this concert, see what's up. He said, man, I'm glad we didn't go to that concert. I said, why? He said, man, I was at home watching it on live. I said, so you was watching.
Oh, no.
I said, you was watching a bootleg stream.
No.
Somebody said that they phoned. It streams the whole
because it was
show.
So it was sold out. So like people was like, somebody streamed the whole No Limit show.
Shut
he said
up.
He said, man, P and M was terrible. He said, Master P, the crime rate in St. Louis went up because Master P robbed 8,000 people with a microphone last night.
And didn't give them their money back.
And didn't give them nothing back. The tank kept on rolling across that bridge. I said, damn, man, Master P came to town and really screwed people over. Bent them over.
Yeah.
He said, instead of Master P, you got Preparation H.
Shout out to No Limit. Do we really think of the No Limit show would have been good, though, is my question.
Here's the thing. But we're at the point right now where nostalgia is going to sell tickets.
Yeah, true.
Everything that's old is new again, even if it's still old.
Very true.
And yeah, every group we don't need to see again, though.
But if you love them, it is. See, you ain't like No Limit. If Wu-Tang was whack as hell, but they went on tour.
Wu-Tang does a dope show.
But listen, though, if they didn't do a dope show and they came to town, you would go and find out.
Yeah.
There's somebody that you like that's whack as hell.
I'm trying to think who is probably.
You got some wacky D ass artist in your arsenal that you
like
would go.
Father MC or somebody?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, the Father's ain't never going on tour.
Well, why would he? We didn't think Master P would either. But because he did, people paid for it to go. But I'm talking about, I've never seen approval polls this low. Yeah. Ever. Donald Trump probably looked at it and said, boy, them ratings even look bad.
Look, it's everybody's in the reboot, you know, mindset these days. But you at least expect it to live up to some quality.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody expected P to bring down the house.
No.
But I don't think they expected that out of P.
Yeah,
like,
he was literally lip syncing.
Like he was like he mailed it in. I didn't think you could mail it in as a rapper already.
I've always thought Master P was a bootleg person in general. Like this his whole operation is
but he was bootlegging the best possible way.
But I'm saying, but he always felt like it was a duct tape operation. Like everything had like some duct tape on it to kind of get it going.
Kind of making a point, Dad.
Yeah, like
points
those,
are being
like,
made
talking,
right
even
now.
Back then, though, like it was a
he was selling shit out of the trunk of his car for the longest.
Yes,
P is the most profitable bootlegger of all time.
100%
because 100%. In the same week as he was doing these shows, he's got rap snacks and Walgreens.
This,
well, if there was any two things that ever you thought would come together. I mean, it would be two things that ever come together. It would be Rap Snacks and Walgreens. Walmart. I'm sorry.
This is very them little true. Romeos is good, man.
They still are fire. Yeah. They got like a whole new version of chips for this new generation of rap.
Yeah, they got
too.
Like the Migos joint. They got...
There's cats I don't even know. like Lil Side Curtain got some like Lil Side Curtain chips.
Don't be old black man with your nicknames already.
I think
you know rapper's names, man.
I think Lil Baby got one, though. I think Lil Baby
does have one.
I think Lil Baby's
Boosie
got one.
Has some.
Boosie's got some.
Has some. And I see Cardi now has some.
Cardi has some, yeah.
So it's only a matter of
time. Yeah, like he's always had that bootleg operation.
But is P, to your point, is P black Trump? Because remember on MTV Cribs mm-hmm. where P had gold everything,
mm-hmm.
like in the name of Trump. So mm-hmm. is he, in many respects, now that we've seen this bootleg performance, in many respects, is he now Black Trump?
Okay, let's compare the dynasties of Donald Trump against the dynasty of Percy Miller.
Okay.
Now, if anybody's made more bootleg items for white people than Donald Trump, I have no clue. I have no clue who it is.
I don't think there is one.
I mean, he had a university.
Yes, he did.
Master P had a clothing line.
Yes, he did.
Donald Trump has a clothing line.
Yes, he does.
Both of them have excessive gold accessories in their house,
mm-hmm.
And they are devoutly followed by their people that believe in them.
That is true. They also have children that have lived off of their name.
Yes, that is also
literally,
true.
Literally. In both cases.
Yep.
Does Donald Trump have any brothers who have killed anybody in the club?
Ooh.
So let's look at it this way.
Shout out to see murder.
Let's look at the things that are very white about Trump mm-hmm. and very black about P, and we might mm-hmm. be able to settle this.
I think we're okay. pretty close.
So P's brother shot somebody at the cash table at a club
mm-hmm.
and then said he didn't do it even though it was on tape.
Yeah.
Donald
and showing him with the gun, waving it around like, yeah. Do you want some more?
Hopped over the barrier in yeah. one of the blackest moves possible.
And Trump's dad at least screwed over thousands of poor black and brown people with his housing in New York for years.
And allegedly their grandfather or great-grandfather was associated with the SS, I think, or something like that. Like, or they were selling stuff to the Nazis.
Okay, so let's see. So let's compare those things.
On some, like, what was the movie? Inside Man. Like, Inside Man type thing.
White legacies is getting things handed down to you from your rich parents yes. who have done crooked things yes. and given you money built on crooked things.
Very much so.
That's the Kennedy dynasty came mm-hmm. from that.
How America yes. was built.
However, they scrubbed it clean. And
the Vanderbilts.
Allegedly.
The
right.
Yeah. Shout out to Anderson Cooper. He was here this weekend, too. But then for black people, the version of that is having crooked ass cousins yes. and brothers yes. that do things
yes.
that get in the way of the good you trying to do, right. even if your good
or
is kind
dope
of built
money
on,
or dope money.
That's where I was going next.
Financing your
and
business.
That's where I was going next. Even if your whole industry is built on dope money,
and also you have to screw over other potentially successful African Americans, a la Ricky Williams
or Sean Combs.
So, yeah. So, in order
for you...
Are
you saying
you,
Sean
yes.
Combs screwed over people?
So, who's more Trump, Sean Combs or Percy Miller?
Sean Combs is, by far.
He doesn't have as many
he doesn't have the
cats attached to him, though.
But Sean Combs is screwed over way more people. Well, I guess P...
Master P robbed 8,000 people with yeah. a microphone.
He did do
Master
that.
P walked
saw
into
that
the,
live stream.
Master yeah. P walked into the Schaefer Center this weekend with a microphone in one hand and a finger gun in his pocket and said, give me the loot.
Yeah, and took it off.
And had 100 people on stage. He paid for a whole bunch of people that used to be famous to come on tour with him.
Mr. Servon was like a headliner.
Yeah.
Mr. Servon.
At the same time, we say it's robbery, but isn't it also a little bit of you volunteering your wallet when you choose to go to a magazine?
And on top of they said that he did a bad they did a bad show at the Essence Festival, they said too.
Yeah, I think you kind of have to, it's almost he's maybe on the same wavelength as Lauryn
Hill.
Hill,
right? I was just going
to
say that.
So yep. essentially, when you decide to buy that ticket, you recognize that that is a high risk.
I think that what we're seeing is that initial Lauryn Hill reaction now for P.
Yes.
And people know better now.
Yes. So I you should know better from now. So, yeah, if you go to a P show from here on out,
you know what
you,
it is.
You tripping. You is no longer robbery. Is you volunteering?
St. Louis is the
taxes,
wrong
so
city
to
be coming and giving a lackluster show. That kind of yeah. made me proud with St. Louis booing, though. And the reason I say that is that took us back to remember the 90s, how we used to boo people?
We didn't care for that.
We stopped doing that. Yeah. Like, St. Louis got kind of pussy, man, for yeah. a while. We used to boo people in the 90s.
That's true.
We used to run people off stage.
True.
We used to do all that, man.
Yeah, we did.
You sound wistful for the days of...
Man, we used to bring the torches,
yeah.
the whole nine, the pitchfork,
too,
and be outside.
People, man. People knew, like, yo,
you remember back
around
when we used to whoop our own people's ass for not being good?
Yeah.
Man, it was some good old
and
days.
And all I heard was people booing, and I was like, yo, it was a cat right now that took his last money. He's on probation working.
Was it 50 bones? Y'all say it was ticket starting
more
price?
More than that. It was starting it there. I think some people paid like $125
a
foot.
Yeah, that's the.
It was $200, man. Front,
$200 up front?
Yeah.
See? Yeah.
It was enough money where people felt like they needed to go on Facebook and defend their decision. Yeah, I kicked it last night.
No, you didn't.
I still have fun.
No, you didn't.
He ain't like, no, the hell you didn't.
You had to defend your UPS, you know, managership money that night. That you had to make.
It was, no, I know people to make real money. That was there, and they was just like, hey, I had fun. I kicked it. Like, not a fun.
No, you did.
Master P did lip sync the whole goddamn night.
Some people said he lip synced at best.
Damn.
Like when the official review in the paper, shout out to Kevin Johnson, when he said this was better fit for a grimy nightclub. And I was like, man, I was at a grimy nightclub on Saturday, and man, I was kind of happy that show didn't show up there. I was happier that we got to listen to, you know, Bounce That Ass be on tape. They said he only knew the words to like one of his songs through and through.
Damn.
That's unfortunate, man. Well, I just hope it doesn't kill the whole nostalgia act thing that's happening, because there are some people that could go out that I would be down to go see.
Who do you have in mind?
But that if they decided to go back out on tour, I'd go see Cash Money. A lot more hits. More contemporary work.
I see Cash Money.
They still are working. They still doing their thing.
And you could run solo sets with Lil Wayne and Juvenile.
I went to a Juvenile show about 5 years ago. It was dope.
Yeah, I paid money.
He didn't do High though.
Really?
I was like, what are you doing, man? But he did do the most important song of the last 50 years.
Yeah, Back That Ass Up.
Yeah.
No, yeah, that's what
it's the most influential piece of music. If Back That Ass Up don't get put into one of them things they launch into space to give an example of what Earth is all about, time capsule.
Yeah.
Back That Ass Up needs to be in the Smithsonian.
Can y'all imagine like about 20, 25 years, that's going to be, y'all don't know nothing about this jam.
It's going to be the electric slide.
It is going to be like, so your kid's going to like your kid's going to have it on, and you're going to be like, y'all don't know nothing about Backing That Ass
Up. But they're going to be playing it because they're like, yo, it's still dope.
They're going to be playing it because our people was playing it while they was cleaning the house up.
And our people was playing it when they cleaned the house up too.
Kids gonna be cleaning the house up to Back That Ass.
If one thing that our parents got, our parents have undisputedly the absolute best cleaning the house up music era.
No doubt about it.
Like it's not even close.
No, there's no question.
Like
we ain't even got good R&B.
No, we don't.
No, I'm claiming late '80s music. That was while I was alive. I can claim that.
Cause you run into still Anita Baker at her height.
I'm talking about Bobby Brown.
Well, no, then you need to split the late 80s. That was a war at that time, R&B wise, between your Anita Bakers and Luthers versus your New Jack Swingers.
Just like Maxwell is fighting all the cats now that be cussing on all their R&B songs. Mm-hmm. Like, you get talked to crazy in an R&B song now.
Like, R&B Jacques song, Queen, you can say anything, boy.
I slapped it with my dick.
I'm like, hey, like, I get the melody, but that language is uncalled.
Yeah,
for,
I was like, God damn,
now
man.
I'm trying to sweet talk my lady right
that's
now.
That's what I'm like, and I am going to slap it with my dick, but I didn't want to explicitly say
thank
that.
Thank you. I wanted something there's like, no be poetic innuendo. With it, please.
There's no more innuendo anymore. Mm-mm. Like, that's what the people were specializing in back in the day. They was like, oh, something might happen to me, and I'm looking forward to it, as opposed to mentioning
innuendo on songs. I was listening to the Gap Band early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and I realized he was trying to stop somebody else from trying to come and holler at her. Listen to the song. He was like, I got to get up early in the morning because that other dude going to try to be over there because you trying to holler another dude. I got to be up early in the morning.
So he didn't end up like Orange Juice Jones.
There you go. And he was like, I got to be up early in the morning. I got to be on my game early because you already got all these dudes trying to get at you. I'm there early. I'm at 8 in the morning. Where he at?
I'm not getting up at 8 in the morning to convince a chick not to holler at some other dude.
That's,
if you up that early, you probably just getting home.
Yeah.
And I don't want you.
Yeah.
Just not get
up. If you just getting home when I'm waking up, I don't want you.
But there is some good R&B now with some decent innuendo.
Oh,
like
it is.
LMA.
Definitely.
24 yeah. seconds. Like, that's that works for men. Like, because we know the NBA shot clock.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great play. That's like, oh, shit, that ain't a lot of time.
24.
It's going to already take you about 8 seconds to bring the ball up the court. So now you're up here talking
16.
To yourself, oh, shoot, baby girl already told me I got to already get into my offense. So I like Ella Mai's thinking in that she's like, oh, if I'm going to get a man's attention, let me at least relate it to the league. And it worked. Because now I know I'm messing with a chick. I was like, oh, you know what? I ain't got too much time. 24 second shot clock. Gotta bring the ball.
It took me six to walk over here.
Thank you.
I just want a girl to introduce a song about the triangle offense there. Why not? All right, man. So while we're talking about NBA,
yeah, let's get into it.
Let's talk about the actual NBA.
Oh, man. I'm loving it.
Hey, LeBron James is averaging a triple-double. Anthony Davis is not hurt yet. Probably most importantly, Gordon Hayward scored 39 points last night.
Man, that's crazy.
So, I mean, the white guy revolution is coming because Luka Doncic is on another level.
I just want everybody to stay healthy. I just want every player on every team right now to stay healthy because this league, this season is shaping up to be, oh, boy, this going, boy, please, Lord, let Doncic and Porzingis stay healthy for the rest. Like, this just right now, I just want everybody healthy.
That's the
league right now is so fun.
That's the first time I've ever seen two white dudes on one team. And I'm like, you know what? I want to watch this.
Yes.
I want to watch this. This seems good. I'm down with this.
I gave Mark Cuban crap about his comments about American-born players, et cetera, et cetera. I like what he's built in Dallas. I like it. I can't even hate.
I'm no, you can't hate
like,
at all.
I'm like, that's a nice little squad job.
What's crazy is they drafted some dude that was from Gonzaga that was from overseas, didn't they, or something like that?
I want
to
say.
But they ended up trading him. I was like, oh no. They're not really going to try to make a whole European squad. But they ended up trading him.
I think that I'd be down for a Team Euro. I'd be down for that.
Yeah.
They were trying to trade for Goran Dragic during the offseason. Get him over there.
Shout out to Tyler Hero, though.
Ooh.
Who is...
Some boys in Miami look fun.
He's white chocolate, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. He might be better.
Hey, man. He nice.
He might be better, but he's bringing back that true authenticity of a white dude who's actually black.
He's a Teddy DuPay mixture. He's what Teddy DuPay's supposed to be.
I hope he's
supposed
not doing,
to be.
I hope he's not doing that.
No. Teddy DuPay not on the narcotic.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Teddy, because y'all know he's from Milwaukee, though. Tyler Hero's from Milwaukee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm like, and he's from the suburbs. So I'm like, who has he been hanging with, though?
He went to Kentucky.
No. That don't happen in just one year.
I think you underestimating the AAU circuit.
That's what I was going to say, though. He must have played on the north side of Milwaukee with AAU.
Yeah, he's playing for the Milwaukee Caron Butlers.
That's what I was going to say. I was just going to say for the Caron Butlers. The Fly Caron Butlers.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or the Sam Casales.
He looked like one of them 8 Mile white guys, though. Like, he's not one of those.
But, no, he's like a suburb, like a Ledoux, man. I looked at, like, it's like a nice per capita.
That's where the most wiggers are coming from.
No, but his is like a genuine, he isn't putting this on. This is him.
I know. I saw his parents at the draft. Yeah. They ain't fake white parents. Yeah. Those are real, authentic white parents.
Those are real white parents.
Those are Major League Baseball white parents.
Yes.
Those are some white-ass parents.
It's because if he had, like, the general white NBA parents, it'd be just his mom there. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like, you know, we barely made it out of Covington, Kentucky, and we made it here. No, them cats was like, we already paid for real.
Do you guys like the shakeup, though? I feel like it's been like a WWE brand split where they shake it up. Like, I feel like the league is so with, you got the Warriors, of course, with guys hurt. Mm-hmm. It's open season for everybody. Now, while the Clippers and Lakers are the early favorites, I just feel like what you see in the East with Philly and of course, you got the West. You got even teams like Phoenix that are becoming fun to watch. Devin Booker, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. Which calls out for a while, too, because which calls out?
Yeah, it's because you got DeAndre Ayton now. I just really, right now, the league from, like, on both conferences, top to bottom, there's just something fun to watch every night, and that makes me really
And gay. You know, and what you're saying about the WWE, shake-up thing, that's 100% real, because I think now nobody knows who's going to win. Like, we literally all, like, your guess is literally as good as mine. You can say the Bucks.
As long as everybody
trust you.
I look at Markelle Fultz and Mo Bamba in Orlando. I was like, oh, yeah, they got those guys down there.
And Eric Gordon.
You're just like, wow. You're just like, you forget. You see Atlanta. You got Trey Young. You got Collins, who will, of course, miss 25 games because of his suspension. But you're looking around the league, and, like, I know New York Knicks suck, but, man, like, R.J. Barrett is nice. He's still
– there's something to see on every team.
Yeah.
There's no team that you can look at and say there's nothing to see. Like, there's somebody to tune into every game for.
True.
I guess we just got Chris Paul on an island in Oklahoma City just living.
No, you got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander down there. You got some guys that can ball down there. Oklahoma City beating a few people, too.
Yeah. So you can go up to Sacramento. You still – De'Aaron Fox is still fun to watch.
I mean, we want
to
watch them, but they ain't –
The Kings is fly. They ain't winning yet, but they got guys you want to watch. It's like there's no unwatchable team.
Okay, right. Okay. Right.
There's somebody to watch on every team.
Even the teams that are just
what
like
about the Hornets,
you got Terry Rozier.
You had to stretch for that, maybe for the occasional
Michael Jordan in the suite look. Yeah, you got that going for you.
Miles Bridges, take off on somebody, you might at least get to see a highlight. I mean, in the past, there's been some teams I'm just like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I'm just flat not doing that. Yeah. Like, last year's Knicks, no, I'm not doing that. This year, I get to watch RJ. And RJ's doing a lot for that squad. And it's going to get better. I mean, because Paul George ain't back yet. And potentially it could get even better next year.
Yes.
When you get KD come back. And you get Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, the league could get better. This could be a warm-up year. So, I don't know. We'll see.
That's fun for me, and I think good for the NBA. Yeah. And I just said, after a rough offseason, as far as, you know, they kind of bumped their heads down in China, but I'm glad the league is now what it is.
The NBA is like the song by Ill Al Scratch. I looked up and down and said, I'll take her. Like, with NFL, like, everything the NFL does wrong is like, look, you know what? We don't do that. Like, literally, it's almost like they literally do something the next week after the NFL does something that people think wrong. Now, we take care of our wives of our players. Yeah. We have a full program. You'd be like, God damn, they had a program this whole time?
They the Suge Knight of it. Like, are you tired of your teams being all tied up in some racial issues?
Yeah.
You tired of seeing the coaches dancing in the videos? Come on over to the NBA.
You tired of your players beating on their wives?
We don't know. We just might not publicize that. Right. But,
No. They rolled out a whole, like, domestic violence program.
Baseball did that, and it still happens. But so I don't know what happens in people's houses.
No. The NFL didn't have a program before.
Well, the NFL is here for chaos. They're like WCW.
But now the NFL almost feels like they've taken a page out of the NBA because it is the year of the black quarterback. My God.
Shout out to Lamar Jackson.
You got Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson just
with no PR trainer. With no PR trainer.
Lamar Jackson running past around and over them Patriots on Sunday. I almost stood up in my kitchen and saying, lift every voice that sing.
Yes. You get to the second stanza, though.
Sometimes. I went to an all-black elementary school. They taught us that thing forward and backwards.
Okay.
But looking at Bill Belichick, had that look on that curious look on his face like I've never seen one of them do this to me before.
One of them. He said one of them.
My God.
One of them.
Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness. That was, we mentioned it on my pod, that I was like, man, is that the most, like, Black Lives Matter moment of 2019 was just Lamar Jackson just like, take that, Patriots, with bring down the undefeated Patriots. My goodness.
With that black Ravens jersey on. The mother, bro. Only thing would have made that better if it would have been a white running back out there. Like, we could have reanimated Mike Allstott or if McCaffrey played for the Ravens.
This is the thing, though. Lamar Jackson would have happened earlier in the history of the NFL, but wasn't for one player that really kind of stalwarted the black quarterback situation. And the black quarterback could have evolved to the level I want him to be.
Oh, my. I'm interested to hear this.
Michael Vick with the Dogs set back black quarterbacks for at least 3 to 4 years.
Like Charlie Ward.
Oh,
like
Tommy
Frazier.
No. I'm going, Michael Vick was a phenomenon, dude. You got, like, literally he put Atlanta on his back. Like, that city was literally
no athlete has fit their city more in the history of sports than Michael Vick in Atlanta.
Exactly.
And I'm counting Jim Kelly in Buffalo.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's the whitest person in the whitest team.
Supposed to be like, yo, I'm going to Magic City after this, meet me there. That's
Larry
what we could have been.
Boston
though
is pretty strong too.
Yes.
That's a pretty strong
even though
city,
Larry
was, but Larry was way more not Boston than we've
laid a foundation.
Yes.
I think it's bad
when white people checked them.
I think that when you talk about people that fit their city the most of all time, Michael Vick in Atlanta is number one by far. Number two is Magic Johnson in LA.
Oh, good gosh.
Nobody has
that personality,
embraced that city,
and that time.
Yes.
About the 80s. Talk about a just cut from central casting. Like, you had this guy with his amazing smile.
He's already Showtime
in
Michigan State.
And he was Showtime. So he was. You know, I may want to argue now Magic may be one because for that time.
No, because Magic made it. And Mike didn't.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That's a good
thing. Like, you got to take the ball.
Somebody else. If we come up to Allen Iverson for Philly.
I was going to say John Stockton for Utah is number three.
Oh, good God.
Karl Malone for Utah as well.
Yes.
For your black population of Utah.
Yes.
Your model black citizen.
Yo, nobody's lost their blackness more than by where they played than Karl Malone.
Karl Malone.
And that's before we even knew about all the other stuff.
Yes.
That's also very
But, like, immediately we looked at it, it was like, he playing where?
Nah, bro.
We good.
John Stockton made too much sense almost. You're just like, oh, well, you're supposed to have John Stockton.
He went to Gonzaga?
He went to Gonzaga.
Like, if John Stockton played for the Bulls, he would be like, what? I don't know about that. Imagine if John Stockton played for the Knicks.
He'd be Mark Price then.
Yeah, but that was Cleveland, though.
No. But I'm saying if he went anywhere, he would be just Mark Price. It's a regular point guard white guy.
The Utah took his whiteness to a level that's hard to surpass. The only thing whiter than John Stockton in Utah is twerking at a very county school.
That's pretty
where you see that back move.
But feel me with the black quarterback now would be like, I'm going to Magic City at this, though, y'all meet me there. That would have been the evolution if Michael Vick wouldn't have been them dogs.
What city do we not need a black quarterback in, though? Like, right now, we've got one that's doing very well in Houston. I pray for him nightly.
I think it would be fun for the commentary if Chicago had a black quarterback.
What about Dallas?
Dallas,
No, I'm saying.
Oh,
I don't. I'm not.
I mean, Dak is there.
No, exactly. They don't have a black quarterback.
Ooh, oh, nice. I see what he did.
That's what he did.
Now you offended my genetics.
That's not because of that. Because of his statements. I'm saying.
Because of his choices.
Yeah, right? That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about a city where we don't need one at. Like, we're like, hey, man, we don't need that brother to be there. I mean, Miami.
Definitely Miami.
Oh, yeah. Because that
Miami.
That's Michael Vick 2.0, potentially.
He don't need a black quarterback in New Orleans either. Teddy Bridgewater, I love you.
But Teddy Bridgewater is able to. He's able to manage that for the time period.
But Teddy Bridgewater also knows how to manage his uber blackness too.
Right, but he also came from somewhere before. This is his second job.
That's true.
So it's like you came from. It's not your first job out of college. It's your second job after you already figured that you couldn't do this other one.
I'm wishing.
That's why.
I'm wishing for the best for Lamar in Baltimore. I'm wishing for the best.
Baltimore works though for him.
They'll give him
his room.
They can
embrace him.
Yeah, they'll give him his room. He can do that. I think Miami might be that. I mean, admittedly.
I feel bad with Phoenix situation.
We got a brother out there.
I know, but I feel bad for him.
We got two brothers in the NFC West right now.
What if?
We only really have one, right?
No, we have two.
No, we got one. Arizona.
Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson is definitely a brother. He is laying down with Sierra every night.
I mean,
the Russell Wilson is a cornball thing. That's out the window.
Did he crush that?
That's out the window.
Man, he crushed it. And he didn't really have to change up his personality. He's just like, look.
Yes, he did.
I am smashing Sierra, and I'm going to talk like Carlton.
It was the most.
And there's nothing you can do about it because I'm about to throw 40 touchdown passes.
He been trying to talk with Lil Thug, though, lately, though.
Yes, he can go.
Yeah. What was the time where somebody was like staring? What's the little dude that made the little dance for the Drake song? I forgot his name.
Jigaboo Brown.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, doing like something with ESPN or something. And he was interviewing. He was like, you looking at my girl and stuff? He's like, no, I'm good. He kind of pushed Russell out the way. And Russell was like, no, cuz. Like, basically like.
Oh, wow.
And this is a little like 17-year-old kid. And he was trying to check him. So I was like, okay.
There's no 17-year-old that wants a piece of NFL quarterback.
No. He was trying to get a Sierra, though.
I know. He don't want no.
Oh, no. He don't want the problems. Russell got them hands. Russell box.
Yeah, you don't want them issues.
Russell boxes. Don't get it twisted.
There's been nobody that I can remember in recent history who's blackness has gotten like word like oh snaps than Russell Wilson when he got with Sierra. It changed the whole thing around. It's like if Karl Malone started dating Anita Baker in like 88.
That would have been the equivalent.
It changed everything. Like imagine if Karl Malone started dating Queen Latifah. You would have been like
Karl Malone's wife is black though. You know that, right?
Yeah, but
no, I know. Yeah, I mean. It's like Ben Carson's wife is black too. So
awesome. Bingo. Speaking of wives, Jimmy Garoppolo, who might truly be the most off-the-chain quarterback in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. He kicks it like that?
Man, Jimmy Garoppolo, who was walking the porn star through the hotel in the preseason?
Oh, I didn't know.
Yes, Jimmy Garoppolo gets down.
Okay.
He's living his absolute most savage life.
Because he came over from like Eastern Illinois or Delaware or something like
that? Yeah,
I'm living this up.
Yeah, he's from Chicago.
So he went to Eastern Illinois.
He went to Eastern Illinois, but he's from Chicago. He's from the Chicago area.
Oh, so he got that. He got that swag.
But he moved out to to the Bay and just started living the life. So that's why he was celebrating at Thursday Night Football last week and shot that. Maybe you might be trying to shoot a shot at Aaron Andrews on air.
Oh, word?
On air type shot on the podcast version. Podcast version, we're gonna cut to the audio for this right here because it needs to be heard. It needs to be understood. And he says, how's it feel? He says, feels all right, babe. And then runs off in the distance like the Marlboro Man. I was
So it's like the Nelly statement, you know, unless you're going to do it. I'm playing, unless
you're going to do it. It was a definite unless you're going to do it moment. But she's married to a dude who's in the NHL for like 12 years.
Oh, he gets down there.
He don't play no games. He probably got three natural teeth.
And it's that goddamn thing. He got three teeth left.
Like, if there's a key for the type of women who you don't want to holler at based on they do, listen, man, I'm not going to be the dude who sits here and, like, knocks all dirty macking. Don't try to dirty mac my girl because it's going to be some Russell Wilson-like confrontations that's going to happen.
Right.
However, if he got a cauliflower ear, got a nose that's slightly crooked, and or played in the NHL, think about it. Maybe just think about it. Because there's not going to be too much you're going to be able to do to him short of hitting him with the Tanya Harden crowbar that's going to slow him down. I mean, he's married to Aaron Andrews. She's making like $3 million a year. That's a golden goose.
Yeah,
he ain't letting that go.
Because he ain't making $3
million. If you're Jimmy G, you understand the behavior, though. Like, what is Jimmy G? Maybe 24,
25? Yeah, he's absolutely big-dogging anybody.
He ain't only undefeated team left in the NFL.
And he got that big contract.
Big contract. You're the guy who backed up Brady.
Jimmy G's probably running the triangle offense 5 days a week.
Did he get a ring with New England?
I think he did. I want to. I thought he did. I could be wrong.
Maybe. I don't know. Who doesn't have a ring with New England? Yeah. So, yeah.
But if you're Jimmy G, I can certainly – I think we would all love to have been in that situation. When you got that much swag, you're the man of the town. One of the best, yeah.
It's kind
of
hard to turn
that down. Kind of hard to turn that down.
Yeah. I mean, he's probably walking the streets like Caesar right now. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's probably all love.
God bless him.
Let's get into one of our main topics of the evening here up front. We've got three of them this week because it's just been that rich of a topic. So, this week, we're going to move into Chicken Wars, A New Hope. So, as you've been following, if you've been following the show for a while, Chicken Wars have gotten to a point where it's renewable news. Everyone, we have to renew this every once in a while. And with the November 3 launch and the return of the Popeye's sandwich, you knew it was going to spark things back up. But I don't think any of us understood that it was going to get to this level. To the point where the New Yorker is writing articles about the impact of the spicy sandwich on the black community.
That's when you know it's getting hot in the street. So you were at the front lines. You went to the front lines.
So I felt my duty as a hashtag journalist. You know, some people go to Afghanistan.
Sure.
Some people go to Iraq. I go to the Popeyes on Manchester.
Well, that's pretty damn close if you ask me.
It resembled Bangladesh.
Okay.
When those people just poured around the street. Poor Bangladesh. So on Sunday morning, you know, the clocks rolled back. So I was up early as hell. Like I was 67 years old, just awake, doing stuff, waiting on football to come on. Luckily enough, there was a London game, so it happened sooner than later. Mm-hmm. But it dawned on me. I said, oh, today is Popeye's day. So I got up, put on my bubble vest, put on my Jordans and a skull cap because it was a little nippy that morning.
Okay.
And I wasn't quite warmed up by the divine grace of that spicy sandwich yet. And I hopped in the car and drove over there. And I said, you know what? Everything's coming together right now. So I turned on church on podcast.
Of course.
And I listened to an hour of church as I waited on my turn to order spicy sandwiches.
Oh, Joel Osteen.
Feeling prosperous. Okay. So I wanted to have it, you know, be backed up.
If you really wanted, you would have put Creflo on if you was really trying to feel.
Not feeling like I wanted to take anything from that. But so I listened to a whole sermon in the car. I set my fantasy rosters. And then it was my turn at bat. And it was like,
so that's how long was the line?
It took me 45 minutes to get around the line. Okay,
so Jesus.
So you really had, like, you really was in depth with your fantasy.
I had
line.
Nothing to do. I was at church basically.
Okay.
It was multitasking. I went to church in the line at Popeye's.
45 minutes, Matt.
Got me a lot of church.
That's a long
time.
There's
no way that anybody can criticize the
Did
time.
You went to the one in Pennsylvania?
No, I went to the one on Manchester. I ain't going to the one in Pennsylvania. You get shot over there. I ain't doing that. I know
my
neighborhood.
You went to the one on Lindbergh.
I know my neighborhood better than that. I was literally in the neighborhood in Manchester. Gotcha. So just go here. Plus, it's the white people one.
Yeah.
That has black people to work at it, though. Yeah, that's the key.
That's a whole nother thing.
You got to go to the one where black people work at it.
Yeah. Yep.
And she was showing mad love in the line too when I got up there. Her spirits were high. Good. I like to go get limited edition things when people's spirits are still high.
I like that.
I learned that from my days of getting J's in high school. You got to go when people aren't worn down and tired of people coming up bothering
that's
them.
For point. Them J's.
My sandwich was popping too. Like I took it out the bag. The smoke came out that bag. That steam came out of that joint. I could hear the little Popeye's lady humming a little bit in the background when I got to the joint. It was special. I got me a lemonade. I put a little extra sugar in that lemonade, so it was slapping a little harder. But I got two of them because I got my gal one and I put it away. She didn't know it was going to be there. And it's also for me.
This is you being sweet. Like, I got you.
No, it was for me testing my devotion. Because I said, if I can leave this Popeye sandwich in this house for the 7 hours it's going to take for her to come back,
God.
And it's still there, I need to really go through with this marriage.
Okay.
So I'm going to go through with the marriage because it's a real thing
it's
now.
A real thing,
you got to test yourself sometimes,
that's
too.
That's real.
But, you know, 45 minutes, got some church, got everything in. But my experience on the front lines was the minority experience. Because apparently, the Popeye sandwich has been causing hysteria like the Purge in other places. Let's just hit a few of the things that are there.
Taste of it. Give us a taste.
Oh, you want me to dissect it as well?
Yeah, give me a taste. Because I haven't had it. A lot of our listeners haven't had it.
I think a lot of our listeners have.
Maybe true.
I would think
was it worth the hype?
I went on Facebook today and saw that my father, who is one of our listeners, had one on his desk at work. And I don't know how the hell that happened.
So he had the lunch special.
He had it spread out.
Oh, good God.
On his desk. And I was like, dang, how you get one in the middle of the day? Which one you go to? So I'm thinking he might know where I might be able to get another one.
On the low low.
without having them problems. You got to go to the places where the police going to be posted up in the parking lot. I think that's the key.
Okay.
Because in Pagedale, they're not doing that.
No.
So, but it was fire. I'm not finna sit here and be that person that divides our people even more by saying what's better between that and Chick-fil-A.
Right.
For me, it's a different type of jam.
Amen.
It's like watching a football game compared to watching a basketball game. It just depends. But at the end of the day, it's all seasoned, it's all good, and it all brings us closer together.
The sauce was the
black
fire
people.
Too? The spicy sauce?
It was just a spicy breaded sandwich. There's no spicy sauce.
Oh, it's no sauce?
There's sauce, but it's not spicy sauce.
Okay.
It's like some mayonnaise or something.
Okay.
It's some fire pickles. You know, crispy
cheese,
like your regular
pot.
No, no, no cheese. No cheese. We don't need no cheese on
this. You don't need no cheese on
this. I don't need no cheese on either. I don't want cheese on any chicken sandwich, though.
Oh, you don't do cheese on your chicken?
No, I don't want that. That's not how I grew up.
Okay.
That cheese is extra 35 cents.
Mm. Okay.
I need to say that.
Yeah, no. That's my thing is that I can.
That was a black and mild.
See, that was my thing is that I have a 35 cent that I would like to use because I can pay for it. I want my cheese.
See, but did you want the black and mild too?
I will get my black and mild too.
So you was just rich, Dad.
No. Not back then. I'm talking about Phil now. No, I'm talking about now.
No, I'm talking about
I'm talking about now. No, I'm talking about now. No, it's about back then. I never got cheese on nothing.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I just never grew up eating cheese on my chicken sandwich.
I know, but now I feel like I should eat cheese on it because I've earned it.
Oh, so cheese on a chicken sandwich for you is a mile marker in how far you come in life.
Yes!
That's fair. That's fair.
Oh, yeah.
Buying a house in the suburbs.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time I get a raise or come into some, oh my goodness, it's like every time I'll get money to do something like talk on into a microphone, it's great. I go and buy something that costs too much money for what it is. Like back when the chicken selects was at McDonald's and it was like $7 chicken tenders.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, I went and bought them though when I came into some bread because I was like, all right.
I'm going to treat myself.
Hey, we own now. That's we just true. Took a step forward in life. We can get $7 chicken tenders. Yeah. When I grew up with them joints that was in that bag where no matter how long you cooked them, a couple of them would still be cold.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, them joints. But no, it was great. It's good. Okay. I look forward to my next encounter with it. Okay. However, the event that the impact it's been having on other people has been something different. 2 weeks ago, Deshaun Watson was leading his latest heroic drive down the field to defeat the Oakland Raiders. And a dude got hit and his foot flew up, kicked Deshaun Watson right in the eye. I was like, oh, my God, my fantasy quarterback. No, I was. I don't have
to. He said, oh, my God, my fantasy quarterback.
No. I was really genuinely concerned because he said that he thought his eye fell out. I was like, well, we can't lose Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
He's too good.
Yeah.
But later in that week, they was like, oh, he's going to play. He's good. I'm like, how? We got kicked in the eye by a cleat. Deshaun Watson himself said he had a Popeye spicy sandwich and it healed him.
the healing powers.
How good?
Of the chicken sandwich.
Now, you list the name of foods that have healing properties over you. That you can eat that and you're in a better place.
Ice cream for me.
Just any ice cream?
No, just French vanilla ice cream.
No, I'm talking about a brand.
Edie's.
Like Blue Magic.
Like Edie's.
Edie's.
I love
it. Damn, you rich. Are you keeping all the money we make on this show?
Say, damn, dog, I got Edie's money.
You said, look in his face, he's keeping all the money we get on this show.
I got Edie's money. Probably had butter pecan.
I'd be getting that schnooks.
I try to make sure me and my daughter got some dope ice cream. What's wrong with
you? You be using your daughter as an excuse to buy expensive ice cream.
That's very true.
You got damn right I do.
So you getting cheese on your chicken sandwich and expensive ice cream?
Yeah,
you investing in funds. We're going to talk after this. What's your comeback food? What's your food that you eat and you like, you know what? We back, baby.
Man. I tell you what, like I had the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
Oh, you've had as well.
And
okay.
And it was like bathing in a tub of Rihanna's.
God damn.
That's what it was like. And so it was
y'all really gonna make me
I look
get
but
this
again
motherfucker.
That's just my personal preference. It's again I'm not picking sides.
No.
But I have to acknowledge greatness when greatness is put in front of me. And we are witnessing greatness right now. So at this point, like everybody can argue back and forth, but I'm just thanking God every day. I wasn't sure why I was put on this earth, but I was hoping that it was for a moment like this and to be able to experience it.
It's top five fast food moments in the history. In history.
It take you back. Like I remember my first White Castle and like this what does it for me. Like it hit so hard where I like.
You know, like that White Castles you have when you've been away for a long time and you can't get it? It's like that White Castle.
Yeah.
When you've been gone for singles and deadly.
But you bite into that joint because that bread fire, too. The bread is the part that gets undersold.
Yeah.
The toasted bread.
Special thing.
Damn.
Now, should it be responsible for people getting stabbed?
See, now that's another
and killed?
Thing. Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
No. Should there be fights breaking out at Popeyes across the country?
I would hope not.
It looks like the purge at every Popeyes.
We ain't. Here's what it's a perfect storm. It's because you're talking about there are minimum wage workers.
Mm-hmm.
Exhausting hours,
mm-hmm.
People who are hangry. Mm-hmm. So you have this perfect storm, and it's almost like it's a powder keg, unfortunately. And I hate to see people getting stabbed and fighting over this, but it's that damn good. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, it's
pandemic. You may have to stab somebody over this sandwich. But is that good?
But that's bad management on Popeyes. Because I literally would have like...
Stop. When have you ever had faith in Popeye's
man? I'm about to thank you. I was like, people going
before
to McDonald's.
Isn't this kind of... The only thing that could get worse is when Church's brings out a sandwich.
You think...
Because Church's ain't got no damn drive-thru.
Yeah, they don't.
Church's let you know up front. Look, y'all know why we're here.
Church's going to get
dumb
ass
in here. We're gonna give you this steroid shot up chicken. It's got a bunch of crispy. I don't know if a turkey thigh, chicken thigh is supposed to look like that. I don't know. But you're gonna eat it because it's $8.99 and it come with a biscuit and corn. So shut up.
40 pieces, two for the $8.99. Right.
So here's the thing that I realized about Chicken Wars. And we'll get into some predictions on what the next strike on Chicken Wars is gonna be. Because we all know that the next chapter in Chicken Wars is the Empire Strikes Back.
Mm.
Which is gonna
Chick-fil-A.
Yes. Chick-fil-A gotta
they gonna respond.
You thought it was over, but it's only the beginning.
Yeah.
So the thing here is this: is first of all, I'm going to comment on that Church's situation.
Okay.
It would definitely come in that yellow corn bag too.
That's the bag.
Oh, you're talking about the sandwich?
Yes, it absolutely would.
Got it.
But it's about to cause a conflict in my life.
Uh oh.
Because if the chicken sandwich lines exist for too much longer, I'm not going to be able to get my rotisserie Popeye's turkey.
Because you're there for something else.
I'm here for something completely different.
And but you have to call for that though, don't you?
Yeah, but I can't get in.
Oh, because it's just so crazy.
Yeah.
To me, get my rotisserie.
And I'm probably going to buy two sandwiches when I get up there and get that turkey.
Since I bought this turkey, though, go and ring me up for two sandwiches.
I might eat a Popeye sandwich while I'm eating that turkey.
Damn.
I might could have both at the same time.
Yo, is this sandwich is that dope like that?
I was talking to my homeboy. He said probably the best thing. He's plotting right now. Like he's got a scheme in hand. Next time he goes to Popeyes, he's gonna take the manager $100 gift card, so that he can get some sandwiches
on the back end,
some backdoor sandwiches.
So now we're gifting the managers the gift.
Like, this is like Snowfall, man.
It is. I was gonna say, like, I am more sympathetic to people who did crack.
God,
because now I'm going, you know what? If crack was that, I understand crack hit hard.
If they was moving crack out of a drive through window, this is what it would look
this
like.
This is what it would look like.
Wow.
So I'm more sympathetic to the people who struggled during the 80s. Because it's hitting hard, man.
Doing an addiction.
Oh, you ain't no doubt about it.
Also, shout out to Chicken Wars, A New Hope, when Chick-fil-A says, hey, we celebrate National Sandwich Day. And then Popeyes hops in and says,
Not on this Sunday. Yeah, they got played on that. That was automatic feed popping around. They forgot it was on Sunday.
So Popeyes ran them jewels on them.
Oh, boy.
Because they said, we dropping the sandwich back on National Sandwich Day. It was national because I got an email from Jimmy John's too, saying that, hey man, if you buy one sandwich today, we'll throw you another one because it's National Sandwich Day.
Damn.
Meanwhile, Popeye's got people wrapped around the whole projects, and Chick-fil-A just got to sit at the crib.
Chick-fil-A gonna start doing the pop-up Chick-fil-A's.
What can Chick-fil-A do?
The pop-up Chick-fil-A.
How do you expect them to respond?
The pop-up Chick-fil-A.
Really?
I'm telling you, I've been seeing this marketing for a long time. The pop-up Chick-fil-A's. I pop up. This is a pop-up shop.
Hey, like Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A gonna drop some catfish.
Ooh.
Some breaded, spicy Chick-fil-A catfish.
Oh, sandwiches.
Boy.
Catfish sandwich?
That would be escalating.
No. That literally would be the Empire Strikes Back.
That is.
With them Chick-fil-A pickles
boy.
On there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you right now, they know how to do some fish because during Lent, they got a fish sandwich.
Oh, boy.
So it don't take too much for them to drop that in there in the mix.
Look, my God, that is a response. That would be one hell of a response.
But you put it as the pop-up shop. I'm telling you, you pop up around not all the Popeyes. It's because some of the Popeyes are in bad neighborhoods and not places you want to be.
There's no Chick-fil-A's in bad neighborhoods.
Right. But you could do a pop-up next to the one on Manchester. the Popeyes on Manchester. You could do a pop-up at one on Lindbergh. And that's why I would just rent out a building for the week. Pop-up Chick-fil-A here. You just come through and just get your Chick-fil-A.
If I'm Chick-fil-A, I go
buy right here.
I go extra petty. I go with a black spokesperson.
Ooh.
Not going to play to their demographic.
But I think.
Who would be the person they could get? Karl Malone?
If you're going to do that, you have to go.
OJ Simpson.
Stacey Dash. Just if you're Chick-fil-A, that could be.
That can work too.
I'm just saying.
That could work.
If you really want to go for the petty level.
Because the sensibilities of black men have had, I think, for Stacey Dash for so long.
Very. Stacey Dash is the thing we most willingly turned a blind eye to next to the NFL.
I think, no. Right. That's 100%. Stacey Dash is definitely the. People think that black people are forgiven the most. We forgive Stacey Dash a lot.
Yeah.
Her and Kanye West.
I mean, she beat Oprah in the brackets.
Yeah.
That's a testament to it.
No, and then she won her next round too.
She did. All right, man, speaking of winning rounds, let's get to this. We're going to do a lightning round real quick because Kanye West has been in like 5 years ago form the last week or so. So as Kanye West has continued to become a televangelist of the gemstones, the miraculous gemstones or whatever the hell their name is on HBO, he's gone wild in the last week or so.
Full on.
He attributed his $68 million tax refund to God's grace. Mm. Sounds like God's grace to me.
Sounds like a 501c3. That's what it sounds like to me.
Sounds like he's been hollering his homeboy down on Pennsylvania Ave. Yeah. That's what that sounds like to me.
Hey, look here, man. I did everything you asked me to do.
However,
now I got this little tax situation. He slide that little. No, he just said, I got this little situation. You know, just go. Just, I mean, don't look at it now.
Right.
Don't look at it now. Just take it home with you. See what you can do.
Shop it a little bit.
Yeah.
See what you like.
You know.
Also, at the same time.
Pause. I just thought about a brilliant thing. If Trump won, what if Trump brings the Popeye's chicken sandwiches to the White House for the national championship winner of the NCAA?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Like, that just
hit
me.
Oh, it just hit me. No, for football coming up. I'm saying this. That's the next champion that's going to be there.
Boy. Trump don't strike me as a dude who's got that finer taste in fast food.
That's also a good point.
His fast food taste is depressing.
But he's going to start pandering a little bit more to black people more and more. He's in Atlanta this weekend. And then he's going to the Alabama LSU game.
He's going to his base down there.
But he's going to Alabama like for black people, like literally going to a black like.
He ain't gonna find him at the Alabama LSU game.
No. But he's doing the Alabama. But he's doing both though. But what if he does that? Could he turn some black folks to him with the Popeye's chicken?
That's not underestimating. Oh, no.
Or how many players will actually show up for the White House thing and not boycott because they heard a Popeye's chicken sandwich is going to
be there? Well, 7 of the nationals didn't go last week. Most of them are all Dominicans and Mexicans and whatnot who are just like, nah, bro, you ain't off the hook with us. So,
but would they have shown up for the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
Not baseball players, no.
What about these?
Maybe like three baseball players, like Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts would definitely be down for the sandwich. CeCe Sabathia, for sure.
No, I'm saying, but for college, though, do you think these kids may all show up?
College kids are going to show up anyway.
No, they didn't. The Clemson kids didn't show up. They was gone. Half the team didn't show up.
Well, but some of them are. There's enough white guys on both teams.
Right, but I'm talking about, are the black guys going to show up if they hear the Popeye's chicken sandwich is going to be there?
I think there's a heightened possibility.
strong possibility.
But there's one thing that I know about.
Or do they get them to go?
No, like, there's one thing like, I know about Division I black college athletes is they've got plenty of white girls sitting in line at Popeye's to get them sandwiches right now.
So you said it might not be the big of an issue.
It's not a commodity.
I got five of them right now in the fridge.
Damn, I just thought about what Matt just said. There's literally a white girl currently in line in Columbia. That Popeye's been there. She'd have missed both our classes this morning just so she can make sure the third string right tackle gets his fourth chicken sandwich of the day. Good God. I know. I literally know those people.
Yeah. So
they got that haircut that kind of look like Cyclops on the X-Men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no.
If Devontae wants his three chicken sandwich, Devontae is going to get it.
Okay.
And she's going to talk to the manager.
Ain't
got to
go to the White House for sure. It's not going to work for Trump.
I don't think it's a drawing card. No.
Okay.
No,
we'll continue then. I thought that might have been a look.
Also, Kanye brought Jesus out on stage. Mm-hmm. This is part of, you know, whole God is good thing. Mm-hmm. But it's starting to make a turn.
Jesus
here
King.
Jesus is King. I'm sorry. Jesus is King. I listened to one song on it. I listened to that song actually while I was in line at Popeye's. That was the first time I heard it. I got a lot of my church. All different
was
types
it, was
of
it closed on Sundays?
What?
Was it the song you listened to closed on Sundays?
I don't know. It was just on the radio. Okay. I just heard Kanye and I looked at what was scrolling on the thing and it was happening. But the main thing I know you wanted to talk about was Brunchella. So can you walk the people into Brunchella?
So basically, Kanye did a Master P. Since we're going to stay on theme this week.
Right.
and he had a whole bunch of people to go to a brunch in Baton Rouge to hang out with him and have church and brunch. But it ended up being like a one, basically a half a sausage, a bacon, and like a flapjack.
It was that breakfast they give you.
It was the big breakfast at McDonald's was better than that.
Jesus.
Well, at least they give you them cartoned eggs on the big breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't even go that hard for you.
So he went Fire Festival on that.
Yeah, it was like $60 too.
Well, he actually fed people.
He actually got, yeah, okay.
Yeah, 60 people, $60.
Oh, speaking of the Fire Festival, I saw today that Ja Rule was...
You think he's going to do another one?
No. Ja Rule was arguing the merit of the Popeye's chicken sandwich and said he was boycotting the Popeye's chicken sandwich for what it was doing to our people. I said, come on, Ja Rule. Come on, man.
You got some nerve. You got come some on, nerve, man. Buddy.
If the Popeye's chicken sandwich was around when the Fire Festival was going on, they would have said everybody gets two Popeye's sandwiches in their bungalow.
Why don't they just get Popeye's to sponsor this and just go ahead and just have them just airlift some and just drop them off?
And send that dude over there to do some services and get exactly. get some Popeye's sandwiches?
Just drop them off, airlift them off. Like, let's go, like, roll them off how you do for refugees and stuff. Like, roll them off, thing, they don't give a fuck. Just
refugees,
roll them out the back of the plane.
Refugees in North St. Louis, just throwing Popeye sandwiches out of a plane over North St. Louis.
Yeah, actually, man, that needs to go on meth, man. Popeye's chicken sandwiches for the hood. So subsidized meth, chicken sandwiches weekly.
Is Mr. West too far gone?
I mean, all right, I'll ask you. Let's turn it this way. Nice double entendre.
Thank you.
Is he getting closer to making sense now? Because I don't, can Kanye, here's the thing. Kanye West is so far into the Tyson zone. Mm-hmm. And if I need to reintroduce the Tyson zone, I'll let you know. The Tyson zone is when news is so unbelievable that the only time you would believe it is if like Mike Tyson is involved in it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So has Kanye redefined the Tyson zone?
I think so. Because I think... Like the whole, I didn't see the Jesus cult thing coming. I'll be honest. I saw a lot of things.
Oh, I saw
but I did coming. Not think this was going to be, like, I thought, it's a season thing.
If you listen to Scenario, a year and a half ago, I predicted that he would go gospel.
Wow. I have to say, I did not see this play. I thought this was just a phase, something that he was just doing just to get out of his system.
The reason is when people go through a lot of shit, they either go back to, like, drugs or something, or they go super uber Christian.
Oh, that makes sense.
Like, if people go to jail, they go uber Christian. I got to get all drugs, I'm going to become super Christian.
You know, and so when you put it that way, I think I can roll my eyes as long as Kanye just doesn't hurt himself. And I think I'm fine with that. I think at this point, I'm not going to rock with his music because I don't feel it anymore. Yeah. And obviously, I don't vibe with his social politics. So for me, it's not too hard to turn it off at this point. I'm just hoping for the best as far as him to stay healthy. And at this point, to ask anything more out of Kanye would be asking a lot.
Speaking of people who went too far, I want to throw something at y'all. A scenario, if you will.
Okay.
Let's say you have a daughter, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're invested in her future. Okay. Let's say it that way.
Oh, well, I do have a daughter, so this would be...
To the extent that... Well, great. Maybe you're a subject matter expert here. We'll see your thoughts in about 45 seconds. So you want to make sure she's living on the straight and narrow and that everything's in the right thing. And you want to make sure that everything's going well with her. Do you or do you not? And last week's show was about overparenting, odd things like going to the shake joint with your mom and things like that.
Oh boy.
Weird things. Do you go to the gynecologist with your daughter to make sure that, I don't know, her hymen is still in place?
Oh boy, that seems, oh no.
And do you make this an annual event
in order to do so? I would hope that's not a real thing.
Well, it happens to be a real thing as Mr. Clifford T.I.P. Harris was in the news today for saying that he goes annually with his daughter to check to make sure that her hymen is still in place.
Expeditiously. What do you say with the end of expeditiously?
Expeditiously, yeah. That's his big word, expeditiously.
He has the definition of a fucking jail motherfucker that comes out of jail and learns a couple of words in a dictionary.
Smart dumb nigga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
So what's your take on that? That's probably the subject.
I call it over-daddying.
Okay.
It's over-daddying, man. Because if your daughter's going to end up having sex with somebody, dude. Like, I know, T.I., you've probably did some dirt diggler shit out here in general.
This is the type of thing that somebody who has done so many terrible things to other people's daughters that he feels like he needs to make sure that his daughter don't meet himself. like some freaky version of Quantum Leap or like the Gemini Man or something.
But see,
like
I look
that.
At it from the opposite way. I look at it that I can't prevent it from happening, so you might as well face it directly head on.
Okay.
Like I don't want to like I'm not going to like be like, oh yeah, well, let's just talk about sex like that. Like, but I'm not going to like, oh no, we do like I don't want to hit it head on. Like, yo, dude, you know,
don't say hit it head on. Don't do that.
But as a father, and even just as a man, why won't you take into the consideration what this does to your daughter?
Yeah, she's gonna end up she's gonna end up getting tossed up like Tupac.
Right. So I'm trying to. So in his effort to quote unquote protect her, he's being more of a detriment. And yes. I feel like a guy like T.I. should be smarter than that. Should realize, like, even just saying that, even if he thought that even if it was a joke. Amongst
Travis,
his homies,
the ego's a motherfucker.
It has to be the because to come out publicly and say something like that, it leads me to believe that there is CTE possibly involved because that is absolutely asinine for you to say something
that's
like
ego,
that out loud.
Man, that ego.
I feel like it's on brand from the Rubber Band Man. He just want to make sure that everything is still tight and the place it's supposed to be.
That is all where everything.
It's all everything is where it's at.
What I mean, a weird thing to be.
It's a weird time to be alive. Yeah,
it's over policing your daughter, and it's over like you're not letting her even explore her sexuality in general as a woman either, though. As a whole, period.
I'm glad that my parents didn't intervene in the world that I set out to discover.
Amen.
Yeah, because she's gonna be. We all know that girl that got on campus and she was tossing it up, and she was that one that her daddy was like. And you meet her daddy like her daddy's kind of her daddy on
it. Tossing it up, I just
tossing it up, man. You know what I'm saying?
Every time you hear that,
walk in the room like bah, da, 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 da.
Every time I hear that, I just picture my house in college.
Yeah, I think the way you give it to me.
I definitely heard JoJo just
yeah, exactly, man.
God.
You're Aaron Hall,
you don't saying, want to do anything that makes people think about Jodeci when your daughter comes up. That's backwards.
It's gonna be Jacquees though for her though. Because that's who's in her age range. Jacquees sitting there like, wait till she turn 18.
You say tosses up just thinking like Kyrie throwing one to DeAndre Jordan.
That's exactly what happened. No,
get it.
That's exactly what's happening.
Go get it.
Sean Kemp, the rain.
Because homeboys are going to be passing it around just like that, too. That's what I'm talking about, tossing it up.
The four quarter offense. Like, yeah. Hey, throw that over here.
Yep. Exactly. Oh, and then you're going to be like, I had to bring a gun up on UGA campus. Because you know you're going to let her leave the state. She's going to go to UGA or something. Or Spelman. Or Tech. She's going to go to those schools. She's going to be like, I had to take a gun up to Athens and everything because I heard my daughter.
We're going to get T.I. dropping like dad rap albums.
Yes. I had to ride up on Athens.
Him and Jay-Z going to be on that at the same time.
Oh, Jay-Z already know his daughter finna get tossed up.
Oh, no. No. No,
all of our daughters at some point it would be sexual. Let's get real.
There's a difference between being sexual and getting tossed up, though.
The only reason I say it is because Jay-Z. The reason I say it is because Jay-Z is that he's the other side of Clifford. He's that like, hey, go talk to your mama.
Here's the thing.
I can see Jay-Z be like, go talk to your mama.
Here's the thing, though.
The mama ends up being a nanny because Beyonce gone too.
Currently,
she on tour.
Currently, right now at the University of Michigan. Mm-hmm. There's a very prominent daughter of a very prominent brother.
Yeah.
And there ain't no tossing that thing up because you will get killed.
So you got one at Harvard, one at Michigan, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Harvard too, I guess. Yeah. I mean, so like here's the thing.
The other one got game on her though.
The younger
one is the one that the younger one that's gonna be breaking cats' hearts.
Well, here's the thing I'm saying though, is you better be careful going after some people's daughters.
Oh, 100%.
Now maybe a level up from T.I. But you better be careful going after some people's daughters.
I'm not
going
to lie.
Can you imagine having to go home to meet the parents and it's Barack Obama and Michelle Obama?
You're probably staying out, though.
Here's my thing. That those are their approval ratings since leaving the White House is nearly 70, 80. In Michelle's case, 90%.
Because she went on tour.
Yes. So they have the green light right now to do whatever. Anything to you. Mm-hmm. They can fuck you up
these
streets.
Literally.
Hard. And we won't hear a thing about
it. Obama could do a video slapping the shit out of somebody outside of somewhere and be like, yo, I think he deserved it. You don't even know. You'd be like, I think he deserved it, though. You'd be like, what?
For the most part, if Obama does something, I'm going to be like, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be like,
right now, like, he has so much.
I mean, I spent 8 years doing it already. Right. So, I mean, like,
he could be out there, like, Cuba Gooden grabbing on girls' breasts and stuff and be like, and they have video and be like, Obama was trying to grab his drink. She was in the way.
Yeah,
Obama's. Yeah, Obama's. Yeah. So that's where he is, right? Because we have gone so hard, and rightfully so, for this current president going after him. Like, we all like, hey man, we just miss Barack so much. He's got free. So you don't want to be the guy, University of Michigan, like caught slipping, because like you will end up missing.
It'll be like a season of Succession. That's what's going to happen to you. Yes. Black Succession.
Yes.
All right, man. Speaking of that, let's get to America's favorite segment, This Week in Racism. This time we'll take it to a place that I know very well because I spent lots and lots of money I didn't have there in college. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh boy, what do they do?
So,
has Buffalo Wild Wings fell off as in a brand in general? You feel like
I just don't eat there anymore. That's all. I ate so much of it. I don't eat there anymore.
In college so much, it was it.
Yeah, it was tough.
It's really a college brand, basically, at this point, right?
Yeah, I think so, for the most part.
Ultimate sports bar type thing, and I just try to do that at home now.
Right.
But anyway, so there were some people that had looked to be seated in Buffalo Wild Wings, and they were asked by customers there, the people at Buffalo Wild Wings, the workers. There's another group of people there, white people, and it was a black group that was looking to be seated, and they said, no, don't sit them by us, and they obliged it. Don't sit them by us.
Mm-hmm. He's racist.
I didn't know that Buffalo Wild Wings was around in 1958.
Also, there was a black person that actually seated them, too.
Exactly. So, give me some takes here. You're the blackest person I know.
Pre 2005. Like, I kind of.
No, you're still the blackest person I know.
I mean, I'm not as black, man. Like, I mean. I don't have time to be as black.
Doesn't fit the schedule, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't fit my schedule to be as black. I think
that's a whole other topic.
I just think the whole thing is pretty cool, actually, because they're gonna get paid. They got all this stuff is, and then like if you go look at that family. So I'm a voyeuristic motherfucker like that. Like if I see names in an article, I like fucking Google their names to see what they look like, just so I can get like a visual. Like, cause I make my assumptions off. Like, Oh, they was coming in there wilding. But they're like, oh, no, this look like a pure, regular, like, black family. You'd be like, oh, you didn't want to fuck with this family. Like, look. Like, this is the one. This the one that's got one of their brothers is a lawyer.
Right.
That probably worked for Cook County or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you didn't fucked up. Like, his brother went to Northwestern Law School, like, type thing. Like, you'd be like, oh, okay, y'all fucked up on this one.
Like, some people got to realize, I've worked in the food service industry, and like, you gotta realize people will fuck you up quick. Like, you can't be out here just. How you gonna just tell a group of people, don't sit them next to you? Who the hell are you?
They said he was a regular and he doesn't like sitting next to black people.
First of all, everybody should be fired, because if you're a regular at a Buffalo Wild Wings, then something's definitely going wrong. But that's what. I mean, just. I don't know. I honestly, I don't know how people socially interact these days.
So what's happening is it looks like they're rolling out the Starbucks playbook, though.
Oh,
so they fired two employees and banned the customer.
And two people quit, too, on top of that.
People quit. Now they're speeding up sensitivity training at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, wow.
So now you get a sensitivity training in order to deal with humans of a different hue. Mm.
Do black people have to go to those, though?
I think so. I think a lot of times, like,
I get it, but I would write Starbucks like, "Yo, I'm black, man. You already know,
right?
I know what I'm doing."
I mean, we all know it's
You ever get the chance to go to one, you should go, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
Fantastic.
It's fascinating.
Incredibly entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the old playbook. I mean, this is just obviously a Band-Aid on the issue. I don't think, I mean, it does enough for it to be out of the news in the next few cycles. And I think that's ultimately what they're doing right now. They're taking that page out of the Starbucks playbook, saying, hey, we're going to have the diversity training thing. And that generally placates the general public. And considering that's, I think at this point, the benefit of these companies, what they have is that there's so much shit going on that their shit will inevitably get pushed to the bottom. So as long as they're able to throw out a diversity program, a nice little apology statement, weather the storm for a couple of weeks, and then you're out of the news. So, because you have the benefit of, again, having a president that's going to probably say something on the hour, every hour, that will completely push your story to the back.
So here's how it went down, is that there was a group of 18 people that was meeting at Buffalo Wild Wings for a birthday party, and to celebrate a child's birthday party at that. And he said that the host of the restaurant, upon entry, asked him his race. Like, to qualify.
No.
Oh, wow. I didn't know this part.
They do look like a kind of, like a soise black person.
But regardless of what you look like, when you walk into a place and somebody asks you your race,
hey man, you black?
What race would you say that you identify with, sir?
Cabin Asian.
Well, there's a regular customer here that doesn't want you to sit next to his party. Why is that? Well, he just would prefer for you not to be too close to his party.
Oh, yeah? Wow. Oh, they getting hella paid. Oh, they getting hella paid. I didn't know it was that thick. Oh, then they are shit. They didn't. They the black family on Family Feud right that's now. They walking out big money, baby.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, all right. I but bet
the key, there's a key point in this article you're missing, though. Where did they go after they left that?
You tell me.
Hooters.
Oh.
Like, for a kid's
celebrated
birthday.
The child's birthday party at Hooters instead? That's right.
Exactly. That was the part that was kind of weird at the end.
Okay, so number one, you're already celebrating it at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yes.
So unless the kid really wanted to go there. Okay, let's look at this through the eyes of that kid, though.
Like a 10, 11-year-old.
Oh, my God. All right. So if you say that, everything's gone wrong with this Buffalo Wild Wings trip, where do you want to go now? Hooters.
That's a good play. That's a good call out of the kid.
That kid leveraged.
He called the audible.
That kid's going to be in politics.
Well, I wanted chicken wings. Well, you know, Hooters is still open right now.
That's a kid that took advantage of a situation that he was in and turned it to his favor.
Like, yo, I can do this.
All right, man, let's get a scenario tonight before we turn the corner and get out of here, man. Yeah. This was a very interesting development for me to see this. Former star of Harry Potter fame, Emma Watson, came out a couple of days ago. Came out. I shouldn't say preface things that way. I don't know what to say anymore these days. How am I supposed to set up things and stuff like that? And said that she's not single anymore. That instead, she is self-partnering.
I mean, I guess that's asexual, right?
No, that's not. That would be the first thing that you would think that it is. But it is a way of saying that I'm not actively dating, so I'm just not interacting with dating at all. I'm self-partnering. I'm dating myself. Asexual is not being attracted to anything.
Right.
I think what she's afraid to say, and that's unfortunate because I am a feminist, as you guys know, is that I want to be on my whole shit. And I think there's no word for that for celebrities. Like, I think celebrities want to say that, can't because it goes against, like, Hermione Granger can't come out and say, I'm just trying to be on my whole shit, you know, whatever. I'm trying to be out in these streets. She can't say that because of the brand, but that's what she's ultimately saying. She's saying, like, look, like, if I see something hot, I'm out in these streets trying to get it.
Get early.
But she can't say that, so she's like, self-partnered? Which is her way of saying, hey, I'm doing something. Look, I'm slappy-dappy on my face from time to time. Boom, boom, bam. I'm getting my hoe on. But
so she's defining it as saying that she's letting go of the pressure to be in a relationship.
Right.
Saying, but it's the same thing as, I'm like, I want to just kick it.
That's not what I get from it. I think that what she's making a commentary on is the fact that the pressure for women as they arrive at their 30s to be in relationships.
Very true.
And for it to be a thing where they are, all right, now at this point, you know, I'm not married. I don't know when that's happening.
Right.
I was not there. So instead of that, I'm not going to engage with all this. I'm just going to be with myself until I change my mind.
Or, you know,
not to single. Me. That's a very fancy way of saying that I'm single.
Right. I'm about to say, like, that seems like a roundabout way of saying you're single. And then I think people have this negative connotation with being single, especially at that age. And I get her argument in that regard. So if you understand that, then there's no need to add a title to it. Just say, hey, I'm out here living. I'm single. I'm all right, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, I'm doing my own thing.
Yeah.
So for her to put a term on it just felt like,
yeah, that's kind
of, you just say, hey, man, strange. Look.
She says, I see it as a sign of strength. It's a thing where it's there. To me, it seems like making a big deal out of nothing.
There it is.
This could be, now somebody's going to say I'm mansplaining this. I guarantee you somebody's going to say I'm mansplaining it, but I'm not, that's not the intent here at all. What I'm saying is that we put too much pressure on things like status and who's got what, who doesn't have this and all right. that. And my thing is, I see the reverse all the time. I see a whole bunch of women that really, really prop up their relationships in the face of everybody that'll look at it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it isn't just, you know, I think that the stereotypical thing that happens is people say it's people's mothers. Oh, when you getting married and doing all this stuff, right. Or, you know, people making fun of people like, damn, why ain't you in a relationship yet or anything right. like that? When also at the same time, you got the opposite happening because there's nobody more competitive than women versus another woman.
100%.
Nobody. Lakers, Celtics, Red Sox, Yankees, the Hatfields, the McCoys. None of that got other nothing women. On other a woman women. Who has got feels like she has a leg up on another woman.
And I think it's Emma Watson's way of like maybe relating to younger women or women who are coming upon their 30s. So I get the intent, the spirit behind her statement. At the same time, to your point, Matt, it's just like, hey, man, you single. Ain't nobody got a – it's so worried about how it's qualified. And yeah. They're just freaking go out there and enjoy it. You Emma Watson, I know you're getting some nice scared. Harry Potter royalty check, so live off that.
She's scared,
head up to the Hamptons, get you some, you know, 3 or 4 NBA D's, and then you know,
go
just
pick up
keep
some
going.
Chicken
go.
Sandwich. Go pick up some chicken sandwich.
I look,
I guarantee you, she ain't got to sit in line for the chicken sandwich.
No, a Dick and Mortis. Just make a little a Dick and Mortis. Let's do that. You're good. Just do that. Just say that next time, Hermione.
Don't do that while I'm here. I don't know what if you said it the right way and it happens.
Like I wonder. I wonder if people that do fuck her actually do that.
You have to.
Let me try to make her do like Harry Potter.
Apparently, nobody's doing those spells, and that's what this whole thing is about.
Nobody. But this.
She's the type of chick that'll pop up in a relationship with like 50 Cent or something, and you'd be like, "Damn!"
Like how Young Jeezy's in the relationship with the one woman from To Talk or whatever.
Yes, the Asian woman.
Yeah, that is the weirdest shit ever, man. Shout out to Young Jeezy, man, who figured out like.
You're gonna have Emma Watson and Giannis Antetokounmpo dating within a year or so.
We need that. That may be a relationship that saves our country.
It'd be like
and Greece. It's gonna bring Greece and America closer. No, neither one of them are from here. It's gonna unite the United Kingdom and Greece in a way that they haven't been in years. I don't know, man. I don't feel like this is as big of a self-partnering. Listen, man, self-partnering sounds like something you do with Pornhub on your own time.
I'm about to say, man.
That's what I thought self-partnering was.
Shoot, in college, I would at least do 2-3 times a day.
Very self-partnered. Yeah. I wasn't in a relationship the entire way through college.
Man, self-partnering a lot.
The people's partner.
Yeah. The people's partner.
Speaking of which, before I want to throw one more thing in here. Yeah. Did y'all see the BMF belt on UFC this weekend?
No.
So the UFC UFC had a fight this weekend. Nate Diaz came back against Jorge Masvidal. Mm-hmm. Is it Madrigal?
Masvidals.
Mazeltov.
Molotov.
Molotov.
Chris is producing this show. He knows his name. Masvidal. Mm-hmm. Masvidal to you as well, my Caucasian brother. But they had The Rock come out with a belt that literally says "Bad motherfucker" on it. What? Over his shoulder. It's probably the dopest thing I've seen in forever.
And it went to the winner of that fight?
Yeah, it went to the winner of that fight. It doesn't carry on.
I didn't know that.
So is this belt can be up for grabs?
No, it's just, I think it's...
So it's like the $1 million belt where it's just kind of there?
Dana White's winking a nod. It's got to be a wink and a
he
nod.
He said that it's
McMahon.
A fight between two guys that are so tough there just needs to be a belt on the line. I'm like, well, then have them fight somebody that actually has one.
Yeah.
And have them fight... Do it that way.
So the belt was came out before the fight happened. Like
the Rock walked out with it to his wrestling music, and
so
took it
smell
into
the
ring.
The Rock is cooking.
Yes,
they didn't get in trouble for that with Vince McMahon.
But here's the thing:
they've got a good relationship.
Watching Dana White go from handful of years ago just Vince McMahon, we're not about being this professional wrestling life, and now to see the marriage between the two brands
now,
I think you look to Vince, and if you're a promoter. Who better to look to than Vince McMahon?
The Ringling and Barnum Bailey brothers of this century.
Absolutely.
All right, man, before we get out of here, we got to give a special RIP, man, John Witherspoon.
Yeah, John Witherspoon, man. Oh, we got one more top before that
what?
Too. 50% of the women.
50% of the women did what?
50% of the women that have a backup plan already.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's the ultimate plan B. I had that in my notes. Yeah. I just didn't know what it meant. I'm sorry.
Let's do that, then we'll go to John.
Well, you go ahead.
Yeah, so basically it was an article that said they polled women and said 50% of women have a plan B already lined up for their relationship after.
Like a person, not an actual
like
plan
person.
B.
No, not yet.
Because that's the other 50% of women. They've got that.
Knowing that women think way ahead, I would not necessarily doubt that.
100%.
Yeah, I went out there.
That's why dudes, when they do like break a woman and they didn't know, that's why they get killed. Cause they ain't had no plan. They ain't had no plan B.
Yeah, that's true.
Damn. What, Craig? I had a 3-year more plan before you left me.
Yeah.
Before I left you.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're saying that you're stepping on
on that plan.
They had just let their plan B go.
Yeah.
And then it didn't happen because of that.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, because every woman's got.
Or they plan B just got married.
Are they plan B? They don't mean nothing.
I think they definitely have their sights set on something else. Like, they definitely find that next person quicker than guys. So it leads me to believe. So most of the time, it leads me to believe that they had somebody.
It's if they want to take that next option. Exactly. They get a lot more shots shot at them than we do. That's also true. But they got to want to take it. The degree of difficulty is.
And we're talking about. And there's a lot of factors into the game of age for the woman, the attractiveness, all those different kind of factors. Right. If you're a dude of means, I think you can bounce back just as fast sometimes, depending on how to break up.
Very true.
Dependent.
But to have that many women already have a plan B in mind, I think it's just, more. They always plan ahead.
I think it's more than 50%. So that makes
sense. 50% are just willing to acknowledge it. The crazy thing in the article is they say that it's probably somebody that he know.
100%.
In his crew.
That's... Oh, wow. Ooh, in his crew?
Now, that moved it into our circle of expertise. And I said, like, what member of the crew is going to hop on another member of the crew's woman?
I mean,
we talked about this before, but when the crew gets destroyed.
Yeah, but this is the thing is, like, I would think the crew has got it whittled down to the people that wouldn't be doing that to this point. But you never know, because that's where the story of the movies, that's how every story is. Like, I never thought it had been Chris.
If it's one you thing, know what I'm saying? If it's one thing,
that's how it always is, though. Like, true.
If it's one thing that can get a dude activated, it's some opportunity he didn't think was going to be available. That gets a lot of dudes activating, get a lot of dudes shooting themselves in the foot.
That does bring out the shooters off the bench.
Yeah,
That ain't even your game. But you out taking this shot?
When the hell did they sign Kyle Korver? Mike Miller's still in the league?
Yeah, buddy.
Or the aspect of she out here playing? When Cass, you just... The real thing is, I think it's more the surface people that are just kind of cool with you. More than like your people.
Right.
I think it's more the people that are like... Oh man, we kind of cool. We're associates or whatever, you know.
Maybe we all right.
And then they were like, "Oh, she off the bench."
Yeah.
Let's go hang out in South County.
Yeah.
Cause he don't hang out down there.
Wow.
Okay. Well, you gotta keep your circles tight.
Keep them circles tight. But, I mean, dudes probably do too, though. Man, dudes have it lined up as well, of like they wish list. I wish him.
I think that, like, more or less our wish list is like things that we just can't touch, period.
You said, like, it's unattainable.
Like a bathtub of Rihanna's.
Yeah.
Push like, your backup dog. Oh, yeah, man. Colin Pratt, I'm good.
It's not Diana around the corner. It's like,
no, man,
Beyonce. Like, yo, if I get out this relationship, I'm going to get at Beyonce. Right. Like, that's how delusional we are. Like,
yeah, it's like, we're not looking at, like, what's right around the corner. Now, you know, you're going to have a pack of women like, bullshit, you out here looking at everything, walk past you in the grocery store. I'd be like, when I'm in the grocery store, I am hungry. I do not care what anybody looks like in there at all.
I know as prepared as women are, they probably, like, they have done the scouting already. They've like, oh, yeah, if you do some fuck shit tonight, I already know three niggas within a 5-mile radius that I'm going to go ahead and get a phone call from. Yep. Like, so they already know what time it is before we, by the time we realize we've been hit, she already, you know, on the 2-minute offense somewhere else, right?
That's why the Scud missile always affects women more than men, I think.
It's like Dr. Manhattan just running around out here just destroying shit.
Shout out to the Watchmen TV show, which is fucking awesome, dude.
I've not sat down yet.
Oh, it's fucking awesome.
Okay,
it's
good.
It's appointment TV, man.
All right, I'm going to make it happen.
All right, man.
John Witherspoon, man.
John Witherspoon.
Pops, man.
Now, you've met John Witherspoon.
I've met him a couple times. We've had him on the show. He is an amazing gentleman. Could not have been kinder or even more generous with his time. And, yeah, it's a huge loss, man. Like, he would tell us stories. I remember when he first came on our podcast, he would tell us stories about how him and Letterman came up together, good boys to the day he passed. Like,
really?
They were very close, and they came up in the comedy scene in LA. And he was a legend in these comedy streets. Like, every up and comer right now, anybody that's been anybody in this industry has had to pay their respects to John Witherspoon and what he's contributed. So it's a tough loss, man. This one kind of hurts. They always hurt.
Yeah, but this one.
But this one stings because he was. One of the last of the OGs, truly connected to the bygone era of the old school comedian. And like
left,
I said,
I guess Paul Mooney's the last one left,
man,
right?
You got to look at Mooney, who's probably left for the old school. And I mean, it really
is. Dead.
He's talking like it now, but it's really like Eddie's show now. He the godfather to everybody at this point. It's Eddie's show now, officially, just the way he's been promoting himself recently. But yeah, John Witherspoon was one of the OGs, and that was a tough loss.
Yeah, Mooney's out here because, I mean, Richard Pryor gone. And
Boondocks is going to be you know.
It ain't going to be the same.
Yeah, it's same.
Be tough. I don't know how who comes in to play that role, but it's going to be a tough.
I think you just make Pops just be passed on under two.
That could work.
I think you just make Granddad passed on. You don't even.
Mess with it.
Don't even try to, man.
I'm going to see that.
Unless you make that a whole, and you make that a whole funeral episode too. Like, yeah, you kind of amp it up. You bring up all the different characters coming to the funeral type thing. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of dope.
That is a tough loss, man. John Witherspoon, like, I don't know, man. I don't even know what I got his work just from the Wayans brothers to, of course, his work on Friday. Like, I don't know. I think he just, for him to have the brand that he had, and one thing that we talked about when we had him on is just what it takes to be sustainable in this industry. And the man just, like, you know, just treat people with kindness. Always, you know, to treat people professionally. You know, don't waste people's time. You know, if you ain't about it, don't be about it. But when it's time to be on, be on. And so he just could not have been, he really practiced what he preached. And you just saw the outpouring love from everybody and how he meant to guys like Ice Cube and Chris Tucker and all of them.
They said his funeral was a star-studded funeral,
too. Oh, yeah, man. Everyone was there. Like I said, you had Letterman there. I think Letterman was the host. I think he hosted the entire thing.
Yeah, they had some pictures of it on Facebook.
Yeah, so it was a tough loss, man. I don't know how far he got with the Friday Project. I know he had talked for the last year and a half, to a couple years about them putting the finishing touches on that. I don't know how far that is, but it'd be interesting to see how his future projects, as you mentioned, like Boondocks, how they play out.
We gotta give him the Carrie Fisher, man. Keep it rolling.
We got the technology. We got the technology. It's available. Make it work.
Yeah, I mean, John Witherspoon was hilarious, dude, man. I mean, but he always looked old to me, though.
Yeah, he's always like he's been.
Yeah, like even Talking Dirty at the Dark.
Garrett Morris is there. He's still
Garrett Morris.
Garrett
Morris
is
OG.
Very much OG.
But he's not stand up. Garrett Morris is not stand up.
You got George Wallace.
Yeah, George Wallace.
George Wallace is OG. There you go. George Wallace is there. But like I remember when I first saw him. Well, I saw Talking Dirty at the Dark before. After House Party, and he was like, "That playing that goddamn Public Enema, they playing that Public Enema next door," and I'm like, and think about how crazy they were at the time, even in the time frame of like, yo, somebody was really mad about somebody playing Public Enemy in general though, like, really out of all the music that some kid is playing, you mad about the Public Enemy?
Public Enema.
Yeah, that Public Enema. They playing that goddamn Public Enema. Like,
one thing I don't need in public is an enema.
Yeah, like that Public Enema. So the police are like, damn, they got a Public Enema over there. Shit, I don't know if we're going to come for that one. That's why the police didn't come on that.
They was like, what's happening now?
Yeah,
well, Public Enema. Tell us how that works out. What's in the fire department?
That don't sound like something I'll go through for the police. Let me transfer you over to the fire department.
Nah, yeah, him and DC Curry, having DC and like them the old school OGs, and you know, and like having him in here and just seeing him, even him on the screen, he always just felt like the people's uncle.
Yeah,
like he always just felt like he was in some way, shape, or form part of your family because he reminded you of somebody in your family. But he's always gonna be known to Pops to us, and that's kind of how he was to the generation. He was Pops.
That dude, so
like losing love, Pops, man. That's
love
crazy.
Going bang bang bang
bang bang bang.
Love going. He made a full song. Temptation style, love going.
My love going bang bang bang.
Oh my love going bang bang bang. Like what? So they sat there and a full song. My love.
Go bang bang
bang bang.
Based on a true story.
Based on a true story, man. But man, rest in peace to John Witherspoon,
where
man. Matt, another episode, man.
In the books, man.
Travis, thank you, man.
It's been an honor, gentlemen. Always
thank
a pleasure
you, man.
To be joining
thank
you, man.
Thank you. Make sure you email us, man. Email us everything in the show notes. Y'all know where it is.
Yeah, man. And check it out, Midcoast Media.
Yeah, when is everything coming
up? We are live.
Midcoast Media, we are live. You guys just said it. And others, if you're in the St. Louis area when you hear this, Flyover Comedy Festival in St. Louis. Chris and I will be performing tomorrow night, Thursday, which would be November 7th. So again, if you're hearing this and you're in the neighborhood.
Happiest Hour.
Happiest Hour is also taking place in the Godzak building, second floor at Sophie's. Great local comedians. Mm-hmm. It's free. Drink specials.
Javon Bibbs has performed there.
Yes, he has. One of my favorites. And of course, Gaslight, Gastro Pit on Shaw, off the hill. So if you're trying to catch some late night comedy, also free, stop by there on Thursday nights.
Yo, man, just, many of the things, man. Straight Out of Low Cash Network.
Yeah, let's get it, man.
Without them, man. It's coming
up,
man.
Thank y'all for listening, man, as always,
Straight Out of Low Cash Network coming up.
We got
up.
Some lot more stuff coming, too.
We got.
Man. Ooh, it's going
to
be.
We're about to change the game.
I know we've been saying it for a long time. We've really been like a Master P albums where they be like all these albums.
It's been the Mercedes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it was a whole bunch of albums we never saw come out. that was all them covers. You'd be like,
they was all there on stage.
Little
on
Marco
Saturday.
Polo, and be like, damn, Marco Polo album never came out.
Little spicy chicken sandwich. Yeah, exactly. Knew it was gonna come out, but now he here.
Yeah. Or and then it just pop up and say it's coming out next week. You'd be like, God damn, Prime Suspect is coming out next week.
We're gonna have a better rollout than that. Yeah. Man. But yo, man, but yeah, it's coming up, man. The Straight Out Low Cash Network. It's,
mean it's, Green it's, coming out.
Straight Out Low Cash Network, man. We're gonna have, you know what I'm saying? I mean, something that touches on every level, every part of it. It's gonna be a whole new way that we're doing this podcast, video, everything there. Whole new level, man. So it's coming very, very